Coming to you from the ancestral territory of the Anishinaabe and the area inhabited by the Haudenosaunee and the Mississaugas of the Credit First Nation, this is Earth Matters. I'm your host, Lawson Hunter. Earth Matters examines the impacts we have on the environment and the natural world around us, seeking solutions, reporting on news and events, presenting positive alternatives, and highlighting the steps others are taking. We hope to inspire you to join the many others who are working to preserve and protect a healthy planet. I'm speaking with Nora Chalander of Yorklands Green Hub. Nora is the co-founder of Yorklands Green Hub, and she's joined us today to talk about an exciting new project in Guelph, Ontario, Canada, where community residents want to take over a piece of provincial property and turn it into a heritage landmark and incorporate a number of environmental programs and educational programs so that the community can take stewardship over the property. Welcome to Earth Matters, Nora, and let's start by explaining what the property is, how big it is, and what it was used for years ago.
Good morning, Lawson. Yes, the Ontario Reformer is the name that it was used for this site for a long period of time. It is several hundred acres because originally over 100 years ago, 10 farms were bought up in this area for the reform of young men who were not hardened criminals but were served a sentence of 2 years less a day. And the men of the day, the politicians of the day, recognized they needed to develop skills, they needed to be outside, they needed to learn how to do things so they could get back into society and be employable. So the Ontario Reformatory was established in 1910, and the men built all the buildings there. They learned a lot of skills as they were doing it. There were 17 trades taught, so they could pick which area they worked in so that they could learn these skills and go back to society and establish good habits. So it is it's a wonderful history of our community, of the region, really, because it was built for up to 1,000 inmates, and they came from all across the province.
And we're not talking a high-level prison with barbed wire. This is more of an open concept with fields and barns and things like that, correct?
Absolutely. There were meadows and trees, and the place was built on a design coming out of the City Beautiful movement, and that was really by the vision of Central Park in New York City. And public institutions were to have a beautiful entrance so that this people could come and realize that what their taxes had built, and it was a positive thing. And with that in mind, the prisoners actually built all of the structure that was there on these farms. They cut the trees down and they built all the buildings. There were about 30 buildings on that property to house the different trades. There were beautiful little streams and waterfalls really created. Water was diverted in order to teach them landscape architecture before that term was known, really. And it was a beautification and developing civic pride for men as they dug the lakes. There are two lakes there. It's a beautiful piece of property, and we want part of it kept for the public good as a public park. The part we want is parcel 2. It can be seen in a map from the Ministry of Infrastructure on our website, and the details are there. It is 70 acres, and it has within it rolling fields, meadows, stones, stairways and walls that were little beautiful features built for the public to enjoy when they came for picnics on the public part of the land.
Sounds like a jewel in the city. Now, I'm going to imagine that 100 years ago when it was first established, it was probably on the edge of town. And today I imagine it's encircled by subdivisions and all kinds of buildings and shops. Is that correct?
Yes, you're right. It is in the east side of Guelph, but it is inside the city, absolutely. it's a bit of country in the city, really, because 70 acres is a large parcel of land, and it's beside another parcel that actually is the lake. So there are lovely trails that some people are using now, but most people think it's private because there are gates at the entrance on York Road, and don't go on the property. It looks like no trespassing when you see big iron gates there. But it is public property, and the province is going to sell this property within the near future. So we have been gathering steam, getting more and more people to come on side to see this as a great park that can be shared use for a lot of different groups and people going forward as a center for coming together and building resilience in a city at a time when we have climate challenges ahead that we all have to make some changes to face together.
Bring me back to the beginning of Yorkland's Green Hub. What was the impetus to start? And you were obviously on the ground level. So what was it that sort of light bulb moment for you and said, hey, we have this property, or we see this property, let's make something of it rather than turn it into yet another subdivision?
Well, Lawson, I'd actually never been on the property before that. I knew it was there, but I got one afternoon from a neighbor around the corner, and he said, I want you to come over right now and meet my friend Jack. And I said, well, could I come tomorrow, because I was doing something else? He said, Jack's in his 90s and he'd like to meet you right away. So I had no idea. So I went over to visit, and Henry Wiseman and Jack Milne shared this plan that they'd been working on with Dr. Weingard, who had been a former president of the University of Guelph, well-known local person, and Jack was a well-known businessman who'd retired back to Guelph, and Henry was a professor at the university with international links to social justice. I had great respect for these men, as the community did, and they gave me this little plan on 6 pages that was for an ecology center at the Ontario Reformatory, and it was built on their concept. This was about 7-8 years ago. Their concept that we've got climate change coming, and we have to do something to build resilience in this community. So I said, I don't know what I can do about this. And they said, well, we want you to take this 6 pages and do what you can. Well, it sat in a drawer for a couple of years, and then I ran into some people at City Hall. They were having a well-being initiative, and I thought, well, what better well-being opportunity do we have in Guelph than coming together at a regional site to have sustainable urban agriculture demonstrated and shared, renewable energy transitions looked at, and water and wetland protection stewardship built in the community, having community connections. So we found out, we looked at the maps, we realized, you know, it was a fantastic site for an ecology center. And some of us had already been to the Evergreen Brickworks in Toronto and seen how that focus on sustainability is on 15 or 17 acres, I think. And it has a stream running through it, and it has a pond, and it does a lot of outdoor education and citizen participation, as well as a farmer's market and a lovely little cafe. And many people will have enjoyed that in downtown Toronto. And we thought, wow, what could we do on 70 acres here? Mm-hmm. Would be fantastic. So we incorporated, we have been building out from that we've had public events, we've had we built programs, and we are in the schools teaching a program that connects water cycles, trees, pollinators, air pollution, all of those things that we can do in much more structured way when we do have that site. We work at the University of Guelph. It's expanded like dough does before it goes in the oven. It's been a wonderful project And a lot of people, once they hear about it, they want to be part of it. So having access to people who are listening to your wonderful podcast, I think, is fantastic, Lawson.
All right. So on your website, it says, Yorklands Green Hub will bring together businesses, organizations, and people of all ages and interests to learn, work, share, and innovate with common purpose of being engaged stewards of the land, food, water, cultural heritage, and overall well-being. So tell us about some of the programs that you hope to install on Yorklands.
Well, I have to tell you about our endorsing groups then. We have reached out to many different groups as well as people to see if they would endorse the concept of the four pillars for our focus. So the one is the sustainable urban agriculture, another renewable energy, and the water and wetland protection is huge in the Guelph area, of course, because we're dependent on groundwater totally for all of our water needs. And then there's the natural and built heritage conservation and restoration we want to do. So different groups have said how they could fit into that model. For example, one of the first groups we went to was Canadian Solar, and they thought this is a fantastic opportunity to demonstrate various ways we can use renewable energy to pull ourselves back from our dependence on fossil fuel, which is causing so many problems in our ecosystems. So that was a natural. The Transition Wealth Movement was established about this time several years ago, and we looked at all the different groups that formed under their umbrella. Many of them could use extra space to be able to do some of our activities. We have the University of Guelph, various classes looked at the site and drawn up design concepts, for example, of what we could do in various ways. The one building that goes with parcel 2 in the 70 acres is the superintendent's house, and that is going to be, in our vision, is going to be a community center for the public to use for shared space. It could have a community cafe in there. It could have a little bakery where people can bring their own dough in an outdoor oven or indoor oven. They can learn and share skills as they move ahead. The schools came on side, the Grand River District School Board, they endorse this because they want to be able to bring the students by the busload. Site where there's natural wetland and streams to observe and study pond life, for example, but they need a space indoors, so the community, having the community center from the superintendent's house, will be a gathering space for them with classrooms so that they can come in if it's an inclement day after they've studied things. Those would be the major groups at this point. Businesses, we've had several people come to us and say they want to be able to have a space in the city so that they can develop new business. There was a young person who wanted to have 5 acres of heritage apple trees and develop a cidery. That would be fantastic to have that little business established there. Mm-hmm. Our urban agriculture will be all above ground. It is highly doable year-round solar greenhouses. We have a plan for that on our website that one of our wonderful members has with expertise in that area who had done this before. He's given us a draft plan. That's on our website. We hope to do actual research in having 2 small greenhouses that the public can use either by developing a little co-op or a school could use it for growing things year-round. Perhaps it'll be something like Greens for Guelph. Who knows? But it'll be a startup for many different people, either stepping stone to a career of their own or a stepping stone to developing a little business of their own.
Mm-hmm. The vision came from a couple of gentlemen that worked at the university. They gave you a 6-page handout. It sat in your drawer for a couple of years, and then you met some other people in the community, and it's developed. So how many years did that take to get to where you are today?
Well, it has taken 6 years, but I would say that we developed by word of mouth, by sharing the idea, by taking some pictures of the site, going to public events and having a little table of information there. The original originally we had a petition, and when the for people who supported it to sign the petition, and we would give it to the province, and we thought the province would, hand the property over. No, not exactly, but it was a learning experience for us. And but the member of our provincial parliament said, "Good, I'm glad you've done the petition. We now know you have lots of support for that because I'm getting phone calls." She said, "But right now," she said, "you need to switch from a petition to a membership core." And because we were over well over 2,000 signatures on the petition, she said, "Memberships actually, for people to put a few dollars down to keep you going from year to year, is a really clear sign of the strength of that support you've got. Whereas in a petition, people sign the petition and then go on to other things." She said, "We want, as a provincial member, we need to see that you have a membership base." So we immediately stopped the petition. We built our membership base, and we have well over 400 committed members who support our concept, and a lot of other people come on side once they hear about us. It's been very heartening. Our most recent engagement with the public, I guess, was the Eden Mills Writers Festival, and then the farmers markets. We rent a little table space down there, and our volunteers explain what the concept is, and people can buy memberships there.
So tell me about the fact that the province is selling it. Is there a deadline? Are you in a crunch situation? And obviously, you're going to have to raise some money, so how much are we talking about?
The province has not said how much, and even for the parcel that they're undergoing a sale now, it's called a modified auction, which means people make a bid and then they decide which, if it's big enough or not big enough. We do have none of those details. So we don't know when they're going to put the sign up, the saying for sale, but we do know that the premier wants it to be sold this term of office. So we have to be ready for that because there's an obligation on the provincial part to give first dibs at purchasing the property to the not-for-profits and the institutions and community municipality. We have been in talks with the City of Guelph. They don't have, as far as we know, they don't have any will to buy the property themselves. They have said that they have enough to do with all sorts of other properties in the city. But they endorse what we're doing. We've presented twice at city councils, two different city councils, and all of them, all of the councillors, and have endorsed what we're doing. So with that behind us, it gives us a lot of strength to keep going from day to day, not knowing when the deadline is, but we will have 60 days to put our idea on the table. So at this point, we're gathering support from the corporate community and to help us buy the property. Once the property is bought, we don't have to own the property, Lawson. We have to be able to have capacity to run the programming on it and to raise our own funds to keep it self-sustaining. And to under that under that agreement and strength that it will be held in perpetuity for the public good. So something like a land trust would work very well for us, similar to RARE, the land trust in Blair, Ontario, or similar to the Evergreen Brickworks, who don't own that property. The Parks Department at the City of Toronto own it in connection with the Regional Conservation Authority, I believe. But they raise funds through their programming to keep it self-sustaining and through different sponsorship from different groups in the community and corporations and fundraising events to run the programming for everybody. So it's a very similar we're after. We are in the process now of hiring people to look at a feasibility, do a feasibility study on the model that we will choose for the governance of the property. So our next step really is within the next few months to start our serious fundraising. We are looking for everything from someone who wants to leave a legacy and purchase it, or corporations who want to work together to buy this for the public good as a public park in Guelph. And then we would have a long-term lease, similar to Algonquin Park's lease with the province, perhaps. That's, they've had a 99-year lease running for a long, long time for $1 a year from the province. We would have that with whoever owns the property. So the city doesn't want to buy it. We understand the university doesn't have funds to buy it. Board of Education doesn't have funds to buy it. But they all want to continue to use that if it is a public property and we're running environmental sustainability demonstrations and events on that property, they want to be able to have shared use of it too.
I hate to ask this question, but what's the possibility that a private developer comes along and plops down some money? Because the province, as we know right now, is very pro-business, pro-development.
Correct. But we have a 60-day window of opportunity before it goes to the private developer to be sold.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the sweet spot that we've got. If we have enough strength and we've got pledges from the people or corporations to form this solid structure of a land trust, for example, we then put that on the table in that 60-day window. And there has been always an obligation on the province's part to have a public good come out of any transfer of public of provincial ownership of property to get it off their books.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we come in, and that a private developer wouldn't come in. And that's why we need some kind of land trust agreement so that we can ensure that it's not going to be chipped off and developed privately for private profits in the future, that it's going to be kept as a great park future.
Right.
Similar to, you know, Hyde Park in either Toronto or London or Stanley Park in Vancouver, these huge public spaces are important, and Guelph doesn't have enough parkland, even if it was just bought and nothing happened on that property. We don't have enough parkland. We have less than a lot of other cities of our size. There's been a problem with withholding that. We would love it if the developers would get together or one of them would step forward and help us purchase the property. It is, half of it is wetlands and ponds and streams now. So a large part of that 70 acres is not developable.
And finally, what do you hope will happen next from an organization point of view and obviously from the province's point of view?
Well, we hope that the province will... we hope it is sold within this 2.5 years, actually, because then we can get started. We have climate change facing us, and some say it's just slightly over a decade when we're going to experience far more serious effects in communities. We need a strong resilience and community networking among all the different parts of Guelph, and having a site where a lot of this can come together in a learning, sharing way would be fantastic. So we hope, actually, to be able to get moved forward from a larger core than our volunteers, than our membership base. We want to have corporate people step up and say, yeah, this needs to happen. I'm in. I'm going to do this. I don't know if you know, there's a place in Guelph called the River Run Center. It's a wonderful place for music and events in Guelph, built many years ago, and that was pretty well secured because of pledges ahead of time. People had to pledge over a 3-year period a certain amount of money, and then those pledges were called in when they needed to move ahead. will need to be off and running when that date of sale is announced. So we have to have those pledges in place ahead of time. Unless someone wants to the entire thing and give it to this land trust for us as an eco gift, and that's quite possible too. There may be someone who hears about this and thinks this is a fantastic thing for the whole community. I want my family legacy to be behind this project, and we would welcome a conversation with people who are into looking at this further.
So we better tell them how they can reach you.
All right. They can reach us through yorklandsgreenhub.ca. It's all one word. They might want to look at our Green Door newsletters that are all in there. We've just put together newsletter number 14. And in the letters are a lot of our past events. And as we have moved forward in the last 6 years, it's a good insight into what we are and how we're moving forward. We do have there's a contact there that you can send an email right away, or you can always look the chair up on the phone book and give me a call. I can put you in touch with the parts of the organization that can help move us all forward.
Well, Nora, I want to thank you very much for your time and wish you all the greatest success. That's Yorklands with an S, greenhub.ca, and all the best. You've got 2.5 years, or at least, to pull it all together. Best of luck.
Thank you so much, Lawson.
Up next, I spoke with Mike Schreiner, legislative representative for the City of Guelph, to see what he could do to support this community-driven initiative. Mike is a member of the Green Party, part of the opposition to the Conservative Party in power.
Well, first of all, it's a pleasure being on. I've been a big supporter of the Yorklands Green Hub, which is a citizen-led initiative to promote urban agriculture and various green technologies and sustainable solutions. And the Yorklands, which is the old Guelph Reformatory lands, some of which is being sold for development, but there are portions of that land, particularly along the Aramosa River, which would be a perfect spot for green space preservation, but also urban agriculture using sustainable practices, and an opportunity to highlight green technologies, which is exactly what Yorklands wants to do. And I think it would be a nice addition to the City of Guelph and for the province.
As a local MPP, what can you do to help this along?
I think a couple things. So one is just looking for either a nonprofit organization who could afford to purchase the lands and have it be part of the Yorkland Green Hub, and just sort of facilitating those conversations, but also liaising with the province to let them know, what members of my community would like to see done with those lands, because they are currently owned by the province.
And personally, have you been to the property? Have you seen what it looks like?
Oh, yeah, it's an area where I like to go for walks. It's a beautiful spot to go for a walk. I cycle by there pretty regularly. I'm a pretty avid cyclist. And it's a lovely piece of land nestled along the Aramosa River.
Lawson Hunter here, host and producer of Earth Matters. I wanted to thank all the listeners of Earth Matters for your continuing support. As always, please feel free to send us your comments, suggestions, and thoughts on topics and people we should look at for future programs. I'd also like to encourage you to like, rate, and share Earth Matters with others so that our work can reach a larger audience. Thanks for listening.